What can a business leader learn from an airline pilot? Quite a bit, it turns out, since they're both in the business of managing risk. Risk is a fact of business life, as it is in aviation, and learning how to handle it is critical for anyone at the top. So you might want to listen to these five big ideas from The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability by K. Scott Griffith. K. Scott has been an international airline captain and chief safety officer at American Airlines. He's widely recognized as the father of the industry's landmark aviation safety action programs and is the recipient of the Flight Safety Foundation's Admiral Louis de Flores Award for his contribution to aviation safety. Here he is to share five big ideas.
Hi, I'm K. Scott Griffith, the author of A Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability. In everyday life and business, there's a pattern to how bad things happen and a sequenced, scientific approach to prevent them. Anyone can learn it, but it takes an open and curious mind to understand how people think and act inside systems, that is, socio-technical environments. It's a blended method that I developed from multiple disciplines, including systems engineering, behavioral and cognitive science, and the law. I'll explain the process in four easy steps that I call the sequence of reliability. But first, a word of caution. When my children were young, I used to tell them bedtime stories. And when they grew older, my oldest daughter told me it wasn't my stories, it was my voice that put them to sleep. So I caution you not to operate heavy machinery or drive a vehicle while listening to this audio recording. After all, the book is about managing risk. So how can a catastrophic plane crash lead to a transformational new method that can make your personal life and business more successful? My story began with a plane crash I witnessed on August 2, 1985. It was a horrific accident caused by a dangerous invisible wind vortex known as a microburst, but the pilots couldn't see it and they weren't trained to deal with it. After the crash, I took a leave from my job as an airline pilot and worked as a physicist and test pilot for NASA to develop a wind shear prediction system using LIDAR to formulate microburst recovery strategies. A few years later, I invented a program known as the Aviation Safety Action Program, or ASAP, that led to a 95% reduction in the U.S. airline fatal accident rate. I learned from the plane crash there's a pattern to how bad things happen and an evidence-based science to prevent them. Any business leader can learn how it works, but it requires a method you weren't taught in business school or in your personal life. Leadership skills alone won't get you there. We see and understand the world through the lens of our experiences. How we interpret our experiences depends on several factors, including our training, culture, environment, and our appetite for opportunity. But it's your risk intelligence, that is, the ability to perceive and calculate situational danger, that will determine the future of your business and your personal activities. Understandably, we celebrate our successes, profitable financial results, winning a contract, getting to work on time, meeting our obligations, doing well in school, and enjoying our personal lives. We work with colleagues who share our mission, vision, and values. We strive to produce results that last by focusing on what we do well. But sometimes, we learn the wrong lessons from our successful outcomes. Our risky systems and behaviors produce dividends until they don't, and we pay for our miscalculations with our fortunes, our lives, and sometimes the lives of others. The best strategy highly reliable organizations use is to not focus exclusively on what the organization does well, but to devote equal attention to what the organization lacks, expertise in preventing the potential negative consequences of running the business or the activity. There are four steps which I will outline in the next four audio recordings. First step in the sequence of reliability is to see and understand risk. We can only manage the risks we see and understand. But seeing and understanding are different. Sometimes we see risk, but don't understand it. In January 2020, the World Health Organization and the CDC recognized a novel coronavirus and they named it SARS-CoV-2, but they didn't understand the way in which it propagated, assuming it was similar to the original SARS virus from 2003, and that people were only contagious if they had a fever, and that infection would only be passed along through close contact and on surfaces. They didn't understand that people could be infectious before showing signs of illness and that the virus could spread through airborne particles, aerosols suspended in the air, not just direct contact. The result was that the epidemic in Wuhan, China, rapidly spread into a pandemic. At other times, we may understand a risk but fail to see it when it's present, such as the way we manage the risk of drunk driving here in America. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that for every drunk driver arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol, that driver has driven drunk 88 times on average without getting caught. When it comes to drunk driving, we understand the risk as a society, but we simply don't see it most of the time it occurs until a car crash. Another example of understanding but not seeing risk is Malcolm Gladwell's fascinating reexamination of the biblical story of David and Goliath. Contrary to conventional interpretation, David's surprising victory over the giant wasn't just his skill with the slingshot, but actually Goliath's inability to see the risk in front of him due to some type of macular degeneration or eye disease. He simply couldn't see his foe very well, enabling David to gain his advantage. One of the biggest challenges you face as a business leader is preparing for hidden risk because you're consumed with competing priorities that block your view or because you're not looking in the right direction. You counteract these tendencies by identifying what hasn't happened yet and triaging best and worst case scenarios. Internally, the employees closest to where the work is being done are your best eyes and ears about how the business is running. Managers provide input too, but it's the frontline workers diving below the waterline who can tell you that the iceberg may be ahead. Employee burnout, fractious or discriminatory cultures, sexual harassment are examples where employees see far more than meets the eyes of the executives. Externally, examples include pandemics, supply chain disruptions, changing customer expectation, and cyber attacks. Making these risks visible requires looking beyond your own experience and to see the precursors to bad outcomes. In contrast to what Nassim Taleb says, black swan events, that is, those rare unexpected occurrences with major consequences, don't just appear out of nowhere. They're often hiding in plain sight. Systems fail, whether it's the ice cream machine at McDonald's continually frustrating customers, or the Texas power grid failure that left 4.5 million homes and businesses without power and killed at least 246 people, or the Minnesota I-35W bridge collapse that killed 13 people and injured 145. In many endeavors, this is a matter of life and death. In business, this can mean the difference between profitability and bankruptcy. For all leaders, it's important to understand how systems fail, as well as how they work, and to manage them accordingly. Control the system and environment first before setting human performance expectations. Exceptional people working in average or below average systems won't produce optimal results. On October 1, 2013, the public's perception of the Affordable Health Care Act suffered tremendously when the healthcare.gov website couldn't handle the onslaught of applications. And in December of 2022, Southwest Airlines came under intense criticism because of breakdowns in customer service during a winter storm. Employee associations and industry insiders blamed the schedule disruptions on antiquated crew and resource allocation software. Now, Southwest has a reputation as an industry leader in culture, leading to superior customer service. But during this event, the unreliability of their systems led to operational and reputational harm. Reliable systems have two attributes. They are effective in producing results when things go right, and resilient, that is, able to bounce back or recover when things go wrong, including system breakdowns and human interactions. Now, engineers are good at designing systems to work when things go right, but perhaps less skilled at thinking like real humans, understanding how people apply workarounds and cut corners to save time or make work easier. What we know about systems is there are factors that influence how reliable they are, and we call these performance-shaping factors. They include influences such as system capacity versus operational load, environmental factors, resource matching, system degradation, and system design. Now, system design includes how we apply such things as barriers or obstacles put in place to prevent failures, redundancies, that is, parallel working components or backups, and recoveries, or ways to correct when things go wrong. All of these are ways to manage system reliability. And finally, the reliability of the system will depend at least in part on how reliable the humans are when operating it. A car, train, or airplane is only as safe as the person driving it, for example. Once we see and understand the factors that influence our systems and the ways in which they can fail, we can then manage them accordingly. Why is this important? Because in order to get the results we expect, we must first see and understand risk, build a reliable system to match the risk, and then turn our attention to that quirky component known as the human being, perhaps the most challenging and rewarding of all components. We're all human. What makes us unique as individuals is the product of our biology, environment, and experiences. But we have one thing in common. We all make mistakes. There are no exceptions. Although human failures are inevitable, like systems, we can manage them. But first, we must see and understand how people perform, what motivates them, and what influences their behaviors. Like systems, we must understand how people can underperform, then manage them accordingly. It's important to understand the distinctions between human performance and human behaviors. Human performance management includes building the knowledge, skills, abilities, and proficiencies it takes to do a job or perform a task, along with managing the system, personal, environmental, and cultural influences, as well as the competing priorities we face every day. All of these affect our behaviors. Now, there are two broad categories of behaviors, and I'll describe them briefly and break them down into multiple types. But we must understand that human performance management must come before behavior management. Otherwise, simply responding to a behavior without addressing its underlying causes and influences will not get us the results we expect, and our response to the individual won't be fair and/or consistent. Now, the two categories of human behaviors can be thought of as errors and choices. How we manage these distinctions will, in large part, determine our workplace culture. Each behavior requires a different response to the individual. Employers often get behavior management wrong by assuming that every bad outcome and every rule, law, or procedural violation should be met with either coaching, discipline, or punishment. What happens is a blame and shame culture can result, which chills employee reporting. Employees start to hide their mistakes and choices to avoid punishment or often embarrassment. In high-consequence industries such as healthcare, this can lead to tragedy. In 2017, a nurse at Vanderbilt University Medical Center retrieved and administered the wrong medication, killing the patient. She was fired, lost her license, and then was convicted of criminally negligent homicide and was given a probated sentence. Patient safety advocates across the U.S. warned of the negative effect of these actions without accountability being applied to the hospital and a redesign of the medication dispenser. Experts remain concerned that this event discourages healthcare workers from reporting their mistakes. Influencing and managing human behavior using just culture principles can be challenging, but immensely rewarding too, and builds the bedrock for improving culture. The goal is to raise collective risk intelligence and provide consistently fair and just responses to human behavior. We all make mistakes, but seeing, understanding, and managing our choices leads to fewer human errors and adverse outcomes. Sustaining reliability across an organization requires a commitment beyond individual leadership and the tenure of top executives. Longevity in business requires identifying the risk ahead, placing equal focus on what the business does well, and just as much attention on what it doesn't. You must hardwire success over the long term and build the framework for reliability, giving your employees and the organization the best chance to succeed. The U.S. airline industry's remarkable safety record was no accident. It took industry and labor associations pulling together for mutual benefit and a regulator willing to move beyond compliance-based enforcement to risk-based methods of oversight. The Aviation Safety Action Program succeeds because pilots, mechanics, dispatchers, air traffic controllers, flight attendants, and other workers can report problems without fear of losing their jobs or their licenses, and a team of airline executives, regulators, and employee unions working together to find unanimous solutions. Continuing the work of Edward Deming and others who established a framework for quality management, I developed a set of landmark standards called Collaborative High Reliability and Collaborative Just Culture. These standards are the first of their kind to define the terms high reliability and just culture and require the following: executive leadership and governing body responsibilities, labor association involvement, policies, training, tools, and a sustainment plan. And most importantly, the standards require independent validation by an accrediting body. You've no doubt heard the story of the professor who demonstrated the Big Rocks approach to managing life's priorities by bringing in a large glass jar and filling it with rocks, stones, pebbles, sand, and then water, saying that if you want to get the big rocks in the jar, you must put them in first. So, with collaborative high reliability, the first big rocks in the jar became the Collaborative Just Culture Program and a reliability management team that was trained, developed, and audited every 2 years. This is the first universal high reliability program in the world to be independently audited to a documented standard. This collaborative approach provides incentives for workers to report problems and become part of the improvement process. Business leaders can learn from this success and apply its lessons beyond the attributes of safety. Seeing, understanding, and managing the risks ahead is the only surefire way to avoid catastrophe, whether you're flying planes or running a business. Making your organization more resilient and reliable is more than a matter of leadership or good fortune. It's a proven strategy for success. In summary, the sequence of reliability is as follows. First, see and understand risk. Then, improve system reliability, making them more effective and resilient. Manage human reliability by monitoring and managing human performance management standards and human behavior. And finally, hardwire organizational reliability by building sustainment into the organization. In closing, I'll end with a quote from one of my heroes, Richard Feynman, who said, "We are at the very beginning of time for the human race. It is not unreasonable that we grapple with problems, but there are tens of thousands of years in the future. Our responsibility is to do what we can, learn what we can, improve the solutions, and pass them on." The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk is about doing just that. The science is no longer hidden. The sequence matters, and positive results are sustainable.
Thank you. That was K. Scott Griffith with 5 Big Ideas from The Leader's Guide to Managing Risk, a proven method to build resilience and reliability. You might also like our book bite for Risk, A User's Guide by Stanley McChrystal and Anna Butrico. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.